Today we have two challenging readings. The first, the story of Jephthah, is hard to understand, isn't it? See, why is this in the Bible? Certainly one reason, later on in the book of Judges, you have this phrase once in a while: in those days there was no king in Israel, and everybody did as he saw fit. This is a refrain you find later in the book of Judges, when you have some amazing things told us, you know. He was wrong, but this is what things were like in those days. The one thing you can point, certainly one thing, different than the people in the parable, this man gave everything to God. In total ignorance, sacrificing his own daughter. She is, though, a type of Christ, because she's an only child. And there's this phrase in the Bible, the Ben Yachid, the only child, the only son, Ben Yachid. She's a Bat Yachida. She's an only child, an only daughter, like Jesus. The model is Isaac. But these are the kinds of texts that you go to the Lord with and wrestle. Why? What is this for? You see, we often say, "Oh, well, that's pretty spooky story." And what else we got? Instead of saying, for mysterious reasons, I mean, if I were picking the texts from Judges, you know, to give out a sleepy morning in the parishes all over the world, I wouldn't pick this one because it takes a lot of work to understand it. But it's there in the Bible. And it's a great challenge. Like, what's it there for, Lord? Rather than just say, well, gee, that's pretty tough to understand. Turn the page, you know. The gospel also is hard to understand. The basic idea is clear. Huh? And when we read a gospel passage, we should be looking at, to whom is the Lord speaking? This text, Matthew, is very clear. Again, in reply. Now, that's very interesting that we're in chapter 21 all of a sudden. Chapter 20 ended with that parable, remember, yesterday? About the workers. And that was to show us that, you know, we're all leveled by mercy. We're all being paid what we don't deserve. And then in reply, isn't that funny? This is what I mean. You know, why reply? Well, they may have been standing around, as Matthew envisages it. And we have this about a king. We have a parallel, similar, but not exact, but the same parable, told differently in Luke. Who's the king? God. And what's the banquet? This is a wedding banquet. It's the incarnation. You know, throughout the Bible, there's this notion that God proposed a marriage with the human race in his son Jesus. And so there's a wedding feast going on. And everybody's too busy to go. Who are they? Those are the Jews. He's addressing this to the chief priests and elders of the people. I am here. The wedding feast has begun. God Almighty has wedded himself to your human nature in me. And I'm here to bring an incredible bliss, to set you free from sin, to give a meaning to your life, a meaning that takes you through this life into eternity. I'm here. And, well, sorry, we're too busy. Yeah, sorry, I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, you know, I hope you make out well, Jesus. And, or, finally kill him. So he sent messengers out to come to the wedding feast. Who were they? Some they mistreated, some they killed. Who are they? Those are the prophets. Clear, isn't it? He sent them. The wedding feast, you know, began before Jesus came. The word of God dwelt in a mysterious way in Moses, Jeremiah. How many people? We don't know. And so the king was enraged and sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Now, this is a prophecy, isn't it? Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. And here we are, two millennia later, and it's still destroyed. So then, go out now to the highways and byways, you know, and bring in anybody you can find. That's us. We weren't brought up in a millennial tradition of understanding who God is, and we're pagans. You know, it's 2,000 years later, we got little religion now, but, you know, we're pagans. And they were, bring them all in. That's us. Here we are at the wedding feast of a king. That's pretty neat, huh? We don't know how to behave. That's us. It's everybody who's ever been called to this banquet. That's us. Then Matthew, and only Matthew, has this thing about this fellow who's not ready with a wedding garment, as if these aren't hard enough to figure out already. Only Matthew has this part. So who's this guy? Well, it seems as though, now this is where then we all say, well, I mean, if you pulled him in off the street, how would he have a wedding garment? Right? Now, a little bit of historical knowledge would help. It was up to the king to provide the wedding garments. So he came in, he must have said, I don't need one. I guess. It doesn't say, you know, that in all narrative there's what they call, you know, the spaces. And you have to fill them in. Why didn't he, I mean, if they're handing these robes out, why didn't he just take one? If that's the correct answer. For some reason or another, he wasn't, wouldn't you at least be grateful? You're a beggar out on the street. And the king's men come along and say, listen, come on into this banquet. Wedding banquet lasts more than one day, too, you know. What would you say? Hot dog. This is great. You know, the best food, the best wine in the country for 3 days, 4 days at a party. This is going to be neat. That's the key, isn't it? So, sometimes these things happen, and so you say, well now, what does this guy lack? And then you say, what does this guy lack? What do I lack? Am I happy to be at this banquet? And I brought in, I'm not like the fellows, I'm too busy, and I kill the messengers, the way they treated the prophets, and so forth. I'm there anyway. Brought in. Don't belong there, have no idea how to behave. Forced in, according to her. I'm here. That's rock bottom, isn't it? I don't belong here. I have no right to be here. It's all mercy. So, when he asks him, he doesn't say anything. However, he didn't have his garment on. As we look at that, as I look at that, as I pray about that, one thing I've got to say is, every day do I wake up grateful that I'm called to this banquet? That I know Jesus? I know him. He has shown his love to me in so many ways. Am I glad to be at this banquet? When I come to Mass, am I paying attention to what's going on? Do I want to praise my heart out? Or is this, I want to go to Mass. Now, let's have breakfast. Well, I mean, of course, that's a good idea. But do you see? Underlying all of this, you see, many are invited, but few are chosen. How do I know if I'm chosen? Am I just crazy with gratitude? Or am I bored? Or am I looking for a comfortable place at this banquet, you know? Do I realize what's happened to me? That I have been touched by Almighty God? I have been given the gift of faith? I'm at a banquet all day long, every day of my life. By the mercy of God. That's the story. It was a warning to these folks, chief priests and the elders, your big shots. Do you realize that I am the Son of God and I'm standing here to teach you the way to heaven? And soon I will give my life for you. So we pray for each other, huh? That we wake up, ask for the gift of gratitude, for a vision of where we would be without the mercy of God.